Because it's much warmer here than it is in Germany right now, right?
Oh yeah, it's a little bit cold over there in Deutschland. Aber alles gut mit dir, huh? Ich spreche Deutsch? Kein Deutsch, huh? Oh, Entschuldigung. I'm sorry, but, it is so good to be here. Right now, we're having evening service at our church in Herborn. We're about an hour north of Frankfurt. Me and my wife, Martha, my wife right here. Say hello, honey. My wife, together, we met at age 13. Okay, and we were not believers, and we had our son at age 16. Okay, and that's 1973. And this is when they said, hey, abort your child. Right? Well, I want to tell you, my son has helped plant about 9 different Calvary chapels. He's currently the pastor in Dusseldorf, Germany. So there's reason. There's a lot of spiritual things behind what this world is trying to say, the influence that it has. So it is good that you get really involved in making an influence upon these so-called world leaders. I'm really, really amazed at what's going on in Germany. To be part of that, my wife and I were talking about how God has, from here, we were in the beginning in the home fellowship here when this church started, and I was the first youth pastor that this church had, and I had a lot of your youth, and now, you can see with gray hair, your children are now adults, and it's a privilege to see God working still through them, and to see that through this church here, what happened in this church in the beginning, even to today, the influence that God is using this church to minister and to touch the world. We're an extension of this church. There in Herborn, and not only us, but my son, and not only us, but Joey and Rebecca, as they're planning their church in Hamburg, and they said many greetings, my son and Joey, and to understand from here what God has done, it's amazing. My wife and I went to Germany with a commitment for 3 years. Why? They needed someone to help raise up youth pastors that can take over the churches because a lot of American missionaries were going and coming, and they wanted to bring up the nationals. And I said, okay, I'll go there for 3 years. It's 13 years now. And it's okay. We love being there. We see God doing a great work. But at the same time, what I see in Germany, and then I'm wondering about here, in America, what is happening spiritually? What is going on in the church? What is going on in your lives as the body of Christ? And the influence that we are to have, the being the salt and the light. And I just want to pray that this morning that God's going to speak to your heart as much as he will speak to mine. So let us pray and ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Lord, here we are, Lord, on the last Sunday of this year. So much spiritual things going on. Lord, we just weeks ago, they thought it was the end of the world. And yet we know what your word says. And Lord, here we are, your children, moved by your spirit, temples of the Holy Spirit. And we come before you this morning, Lord, asking, in your mercy, in your grace that is new every morning, would you speak to us? Would you so graciously just do that work that is needed in our hearts this morning? Lord, we just want to commit this time to you and ask that you would do such a wonderful thing. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we've been there now in Herborn for the 10 years, actually, in Herborn, and 13 years in Germany, to see the church, it's a different, completely different than America, to see the church in Europe. And to think, when you think of the church, When it left Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit didn't direct them toward India, towards Africa. It went to Europe. And we need to understand what happened there in Europe, and because the church began to grow, and there's just so much history, and that's one thing about Europe. You just, every step you take over there is just full of history. And yet, at the same time, being there in Germany, where Luther and the Protestant movement was born, and to see, which is only 20 miles from us, is the city of Marburg. And there is where Luther and Zwingli debated over the Eucharist, and the reformers were there determining, hey, who we are as believers. What do we believe? And the history of all this that happened in Germany, it makes you think. And at least when you begin to look at church history, and I think it's good that you all do. But at the same time, you know, there's things in life that makes us think. Like today, I'm here for the sole purpose of my grandson that's to be born on the 4th of January. Well, me and my wife were at Frankfurt Airport on Friday, and we get a phone call. And it's my son-in-law saying, Janelle's water bag broke. And what? So I said, okay, wait, are you kidding? Because he's a jokester, you know? So we thought, okay, don't, no. He goes, no, Dad, really? I said, oh, okay. Well, we're getting on the plane. We're going to be there as soon as possible. So as we are flying, we're thinking, oh, for sure, 11 hours to Texas. Well, she probably had the baby. We land, text, not yet. Oh, wow. Okay, all right. We got 3 more hours or so to LAX. We land. Not yet. What? Not yet. Oh, okay. So now we're on the 105, and we're coming up to the 710, and we get a text. She's pushing. He's coming. I'm like, oh, okay. And all we got to do is go to Anaheim, to Kaiser right there. And so we're on the 91, and we're in Buena Park. He's born. I go, oh. Like, get smart. We missed it by that much. So we are so happy that we arrived on that very special day that our grandson was born. You know, there's nothing like that. You know, this is our 9th grandson, or not 9th grandchild, 6th grandson. And, you know, there's nothing like the birth of a baby. You know, but I can say it on the other side. When we come, normally we come once a year at least back to visit the family and the churches. And last year we came home because my wife, my mother-in-law that I love dearly, was dying. And when you see death, that's a whole nother story. But it's full of excitement as well as a birth. When that person's a believer, there's something so mysterious, so beautiful of a soul going into heaven, just as a soul coming to earth being born here on earth. It's an amazing thing. It's something that makes you think of the date you were born and then the date that you leave this earth. And that dash that is in between, what does that mean, that dash? Because that's your life. That's my life, that dash. There's so many stories in between that those dates right there. And I begin to think about my wife and I meeting at age 13, having our son at 16, and we began to live our life, and we were non-believers. You know, think about it. You know, we're born in the 50s, raised through the 60s and the 70s. So all you gray-haired people, I know you, what you know. We came out of the rock and rolls. All you young kids, we're the rock and rollers. The OG, the originals. We're the ones that had the Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Rolling Stones. And we were the drug culture. And we're now in power. Those are the people that are running the world. Imagine, that's scary. That's scary to think about that. And yet at the same time, you know, God changed my life and my wife. And as we didn't know anything. God came into our lives. We both came from broken families. My father was murdered when I was 5. My wife's father divorced, and her mom, and it was hard growing up poor. And you know what? We all have a testimony here. Some of us have extreme. Some have had it better, but nevertheless, because we're of sin nature, we all had some bad things until God stepped into our lives. Until the Holy Spirit, because nothing happens unless the Spirit of God is there working, and He changed our lives. And what it really was the door opening for us to begin to walk in a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. Making Him Lord, not just calling Him Lord. And what happens now is that we were learning a life of holiness. What it is, what does that mean? As in German, it's Heiligung. Heiligung, sanctification, where God begins to do that work in our lives. And boy, I'm telling you, as I looked, and I think many of you, there's so many situations that come into our lives that begin to really knock off, strip away, refine, burn, whatever you want to call it, but He begins to work in your life just as well as mine. And it doesn't change what position you have in a church as a teacher, a leader, a pastor, or whatever you are. The work of the Holy Spirit is always working and refining. And I'm happy to know that, because I know as I read in the Bible, you see the sin nature in man. Even in the most great men, even in the hall of faith of Hebrews 11, you know their story when you read the Bible, and you kind of go, wow, well, there's a lot of info missing out of this Hebrews 11 about these people. And you know what? Isn't that wonderful? All that junk, all that stuff that we have done is forgotten by God, cast to the depths of the sea. Those sins, all those negative things, those evil, sinful things, when we surrender all those things to God, that through Jesus, that blood of Christ that washes us, that you know what? We're a blessed people, set free. And yet at the same time, you know, for me as a young boy, I got caught up in the gangs and I did all that stuff. Did bad things that I shouldn't have done. And when I got out of that, I said, well, no more of that. And then I got into autos and restoring cars. And you know what? And I wanted to do quality, good, and all that. And yet, you know what? It began to bring up confidence in who I was as a person. But it had nothing to do with Jesus at that time. And until I learned about the Lord, and the Holy Spirit worked in my wife and I, and things begin to change. Learning, obedience, walking, surrendering. That was a big difference. And then, even as a Christian, as you know, I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, but I know one thing, is that when you walk longer and longer with the Lord, you can kind of revert back to the old ways where it's more you than the Lord. It's more you in control, more you and I that are saying, I got it under control. And what happens in these times, a lot of times we begin to lose our confidence in what the Lord wants to do. Because he's wanting to do something. That's one thing I know for sure. And in our situations, where you're at today, I don't know what's been going on for you in 2012, but I know, you know what, for us, it's been pretty extreme. Especially there in Germany, dealing with just a ton of stuff. I would have to give you the whole hour here just on that. But I'm telling you, there's spiritual warfare going on. And we cannot ever, ever forget that in the front of all men that you're seeing on the surface, behind that, there's spiritual things going on. And a lot of times, some of these people don't even know what they're doing. For instance, in Berlin, there's a museum, the Pergamum Museum. And there is, during the time of Hitler really was interested in objects that have occult powers, so to say. And he brought from Turkey, from Pergamos, that you read in Revelation, the throne of Satan. He had it, they tore it apart, transported it to Berlin, and put it in the museum. And you might say, oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, what's more interesting is the UN, they had meetings on this great throne. This has a throne with the steps. And there, the European people said in a meeting is that here on these steps, on this throne, have great men have been empowered, and at this place, even the gods have empowered. And this is why they're having the meeting there. And they are saying certain things, and we know that there will be, in the end times, a revised Roman Empire. We know what's going to happen in Europe, and it's been happening. And yet, you see these things on that side of the spiritual realm, how the enemy's working, but how about us on the Christian side? Those that are walking in the light, those that are the children of God, what's happening with us? You see, because as darkness is coming and really growing, I think maybe you have realized it. I hope you are realizing it. But in Europe, we're seeing the power plays, the power of evil and wickedness growing. Something is happening. And I don't know if you see it on this side, because we're pretty much cut off with a lot of info. We're so much there dealing with what's happening in Europe that it is an amazing thing to see. And yet you have to wonder, okay, what are we trusting in right now? We got to stop and say, okay, in the middle of all what's going on, what are we trusting in today? Because being a Christian, doing the church thing is one thing. Because we do that a lot in Germany. You're talking roots? I've learned what tradition is. I understand a little bit of what Jesus dealt with when he dealt with the religious people of his time. Because traditions in Europe go so deep. And here I was in Southern California and, you know, going in, hey, you know, and trying to break traditions. Hey, the roots are so deep and so thick that those don't break so easy. That who they are and what they are, it's almost, I could say, genetically transferred. And it's really, it's an amazing thing. It's shocking. And yet at the same time, I see a lot of the church have redirected their confidence in the wrong place. And I want to see that. I want you to see that. So if you would you turn to 2 Kings chapter 18 with me this morning? And I want to look at verses 13 through 20. Here's the story of King Hezekiah, very famous king. And it says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the 45 cities of Judah and took them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay.
And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasury of the king's house. And at this time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and Rabshakeh from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem to Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. And they went up to the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. And there, when he had called the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, they came out to them. Then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now, Hezekiah, thus says the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you would rebel against me?" I want you to think about what's happening in this story. For when we look at these men that come and ask this question, where is your confidence? Where is your trust? Well, these guys here, these are not the names of the people. This is the title of who they are. Tartan means the supreme commander. Sarathras is the chief officer, and Rabshakeh is the field commander. Here you got the powerhouse, the army guys, the frontline men of the enemy coming and asking the question, what confidence do you have? What are you trusting in that you would rebel against us? And you know what? Isn't that how it is in the Christian life? Is that you and I are making steps, serving the Lord. You know what? Hezekiah overlaid the temple with gold, prospering, things are happening, only to somehow back up and begin to strip away the gold and give it to the enemy? What do we give the enemy? What did we give 2012 to the enemy? Where you and I were making progress forward, and somehow, some way, we ended up stripping down things that were God, and it was His alone, and yet we gave it over to the enemy. It happens. That's real Christianity. When you're really in the middle of spiritual warfare, spiritual life, there's something going on. Just like there is right now in Europe, in America, there's a lot of spiritual things going on. We cannot live the life of the Christian in the physical. We need to jump back into the spiritual thing, prayer, the Word of God, using the sword. We got to get back to that place, because one thing I know is the enemy has a plan. And he's asking, you want to fight me? You want to go against me? What are you trusting in? And this is what I see a lot of people changing. And it's because, you know, this is who we are as believers. You know what? Many of you this year have gone through the valley. Some of you are still in the wilderness today. And now we're coming to 2013. It's a whole new year. But you know what? 2012 has been pretty extreme. And I know that we got to stop every once in a while and ask, where do I stand today? Taking inventory. Where do I stand today in my faith? Because if we don't, one of the things I know is that as things are getting more ripe, because this is what Revelation tells us, is that the sins of the earth are going to get ripe. Then judgment comes. Things are getting ripe
You know, I don't know how close we are, but things are definitely getting ripe. And now we have to ask ourselves, as God's people in this generation, when we consider the Word of God, what are we doing with this? How much is it coming in and going out versus taking it and applying it to our lives? This is a question that we have to ask ourselves as we go into 2013, because I really believe if we don't, we're going to be in a big problem coming. This world is like freaking out. They know something's up. Hey, look at when and what generation ever had a Mayan calendar ending in their generation, where everybody in the world's freaking out. Do you know that? I mean, Russia was, I was really fascinated that Russia was really freaking out on this whole thing. Yeah, really. I don't know, did they say that here in America? In Europe, they were saying, wow, they were really kind of fascinated that the Russians were so overwhelmed with this whole thing. But as I look, what are we doing now with the Word of God? Because I look at my grandson, my new little Eli Daniel, and I have now 6 grandsons and 3 granddaughters, and I'm thinking, their generation, what are they going to go through? We need to encourage our children to make sure they're teaching our grandchildren. And then yet, as an oma and an opa, grandpa and grandma, we have to come up with ways to be able to influence our grandchildren in a way that they will follow Jesus. You know what? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's get some wisdom here. Proverbs chapter 4, as it says so clearly, in verse 7 it says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. The years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go. Keep her. She is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the ways of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. How much greater wisdom can you give your children, your grandchildren than that? For this is truth. This is something that we got to communicate to our children and this generation as we see evils growing. We see end time scenario situations developing. And yet at the same time, I want to look to us here in this church right now, the Word of God. As we come every Sunday to church, we have a life that is based here on a Sunday, maybe Wednesday, maybe home fellowship studies. Okay, that is wonderful. But now let's consider the Word and the wisdom that it holds for us. Do we take it? Because I know Christians, since I've been one for 30-something years now, and now seeing it in Europe, and I've seen what Christianity there and what happens to the church, where it's now. We're in a post-Christian era in Europe. And do you think it will not happen here? It can. That's what makes me think. If this is true, if God's people don't look at the Word as where I draw my wisdom and my who I am and learn to battle the enemy, if I don't look to this book inspired from God's Spirit If I don't take this and put confidence and trust in what it's saying, because you know, remember when you first became a believer and you would open your Bible and for a devotion and how those words jumped out and he spoke to you? You remember those days, and I hope you do, and I hope it's still happening today, but we have to come to a point as a believer that we're really honest, because I look at Europe and I say, how did Europe become what it is as a church today? How did it change? How did what great movement, what godly heritage, what happened? How do you go from here to here? And I think about some of these things when I think about the Bible. A godly person is a person with a clean heart, what the Lord has done, and then clean hands. And with the clean heart and clean hands, we begin to do things for the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's here at the church or you're at work, school, wherever you're at, but you become an influence because your heart has been cleansed and your hands are clean. You're not dabbling here and there with the things that you shouldn't be dabbling in. And yet at the same time, God is using you. This is something that I pray that is still happening with you this year going into next year, that, hey, we have clean hands before the Lord that he wants to use these people that have clean hands and pure heart for him. And I wonder, when I think about sin, because in the battlefield, there's casualties. And in Europe, in the mission field, I hate to say it, there's been casualties. You see men and women that have been serving the Lord for so long, and they got shot down through whatever it was, whatever the enemy has placed before them. And just like you and I know, we know many, maybe very close friends, family members that walked with the Lord that are not walking any longer. And we wonder, Lord, how did that transition? How did that happen when they were so strong? They were so this and that. And yet I know one thing is that when we serve the Lord, we need to be walking with him in a way that we're taking the word of God and letting it wash us. Because one thing I know, hey, we walk in a fallen world. And just like the priest, when they had that tabernacle, as they would enter into the tabernacle, they had the laver and they had to wash themselves before they would enter into the tabernacle. Yeah, we're defiled by this world. There's no way of getting around that. But we need to be washed in God's word. You know, we see things. My wife and I, in our little city, Herborn, which is a holy city, because, hey, we had reformers in our city. We had the big boys there. We even had John Calvin there for a while. We had many other guys. And in our little city, they had a big billboard, big as this, with naked ladies. And my wife asked our ladies in our churches, why don't you guys protest? Go to the city, tell them to take this off. Our little kids are seeing this thing. Oh, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. And I said, what? And just like I was talking to Joey going up into Hamburg, you see, because in Europe, it's a little bit different. There, prostitution's legal. Germany, it's legal. Amsterdam, very well known. And then the Netherlands, hey, you can go to a restaurant, and you got a menu right there, and you can pick what kind of marijuana you want to smoke, what kind of hash you want to smoke. And you're in a restaurant smoking dope, totally illegal. And yet, I wonder, I was telling Joey, I go, Joey, so what's going on up there with this big prostitution, because Hamburg has a big one there. And he says, well, you know, the guys, the pastors up here, they just say, hey, you know, it's been here and for so long, it's very historic. I go, Joey, dude, be careful going up there that you don't just say, oh, it's just a historic thing. What happened to those men that they begin to just say, hey, it's no big thing? And I wonder, you know, as I look at what the Holy Spirit's role is, as John 16, we see the Spirit is to come and to convict the world of sin. But if the church, if the pastors behind the pulpit are not preaching God's word in the sense that, hey, let's talk about what sin is, let's deal with these real issues, and they just begin to candy coat everything, well, then we see a church in the condition that it is in Europe that is post-Christian. We can understand why these things are the way they are. As I look, when you and I as believers see evil, we are to oppose evil. We are to be the light and salt. We are to be ones that go against it. And so if we don't go against it, what we're doing basically is accepting it. And we can't do that. Yes, it's not cool or what our generation in this political correctness. It's the same in Europe. They don't care anymore. And that caring, not caring, is now affecting the whole land. And we got to see this evil for what it is and expose it. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians. And yet at the same time, as we are taught in the scriptures, you are taught here very well, and you guys read the word, and yet at the same time, when the word of God instructs you and I, we are now to take that and begin to effectively use that. Now, one thing, though, I know it's a danger, is that we can slowly but surely begin to back away from the word, and it's not so part of our life as it was in the beginning. You listen, I understand what is happening in the economic realm. Europe is really, I mean, what Germany is dealing with, Greece and all this, it's very amazing what's going on in Germany. And the Germans cannot say anything negative, because once a German says anything against another nation's, the whole world turns against them and say, you're Nazis. The German can't say anything. It's been only in the time we've been there that the Germans will actually put a flag out. And that was only because of the World Cup. And now they would only on the World Cup put a flag out. And when they left it a week or two after, the Germans themselves would say, oh, that's probably a Nazi for putting a flag out. That's how it is over there. And yet at the same time, I think, Lord, your Spirit needs to do a work, not only here in Germany, but throughout your church. The bride, she needs to be woken up. And I know that the Holy Spirit is wanting to work in you this morning, just as much as me. He has been working. And now the question is obedience. When the Spirit speaks to you, if you're so busy and worried about economics and what's going to happen, and you begin to get away from your word, then there's a problem. Many people are in this situation at the moment, and a lot in Europe, and yet, you know what? We have to get back to this book. We have to get back to this book, because the Holy Spirit really wants to work and be speaking to the inner man and this time in directing us. We might be the generation that we see the Lord's return. And so you think it's going to be just a cakewalk? You really think? Really? Do you think it's going to be a cakewalk if we're the generation? If we are. I don't think so. I think we're going to see things that no other generation has seen. And we are seeing many things. Yet at the same time, when I begin to say, Lord, what is your spirit saying to me? Because you know what? Sometimes when we're doing wrong, when we're acting wrong, if you're a believer, God's spirit is speaking to you in the middle of it. When you're doing wrong, that's if you don't agree to that, then you're saying the role of the Holy Spirit ain't happening. And you know what? I would call you a liar. I know the Holy Spirit, when you and I are doing what we should not be doing, the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. He is dealing with his bride. He wants to prepare us for the Lord's return. And I know at the same time, but this work is always dealing with us to come to a point where we would say, yes, Lord. That's like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he got knocked down. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's the question. We got to come to that point. When the Holy Spirit has been dealing with us in whatever situation it is, we have to come to that point where we just say, okay, Lord, what will you have me to do? Bend our knees to that point. And yet at the same time, you know what? I know that the enemy would do whatever, distractions, you know, trying to confuse us, trying to stop us from making the right choice, to going the right way. And what happens is, you know what? When you and I ignore what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, because that's how it was. Come on, come on. Remember when we first got saved? Remember how the Holy Spirit led us? Remember that love? It was sweet, beautiful. And yet, what happened? What goes on? Is it because we're mature now? It's not no more emotions? Hey, God created us with emotions. That's one thing what happened in Germany when the 1600s, when it was pre-modern, you know what? We just obeyed. That generations were just obeyed. We were told and we believed, and the Bible says miracles, we believed in them. But then we had the age of modern. Science was born. Hey, listen, there's a law of gravity. And in the law of gravity, there's laws of God. So, hey, there can't be no miracles. Miracles go against the laws of science. So man in his wisdom thinks, hey, there's no miracles. So now we have a movement of anti-supernatural. Hey, you know what? That kind of stuff creeps into the believer. You know, we used to believe, you and I have a testimony where God intervened, did radical, miraculous things that transformed our lives. Do we still believe that? Do your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your brothers and sisters who are on drugs or messed up, do you believe God could save them? Or have you put doubt and you put unbelief in what our supernatural God can do? See, this is an amazing thing when I think about it, because myself and my wife, born in a Mexican, poor and messed up, having a child, typical, 16, what happens when you don't have the right upbringing, and yet God changed our lives, and he's using us. And he sends us to Germany? See how God is? See how? And yet at the same time, we have to think, you know what? There was much things that happened. The enemy tries to work against you becoming what God wants you to become. Listen, in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says this, we have removed our hearts far away from God. Think about that. You could be a Christian. You could do the church thing. I see that in Europe all the time. They got the big churches, the beautiful stained glass, everything. But the church might be this big here and yet have 50 people in it. That's it. What happened to the church? I don't care about the building. The building is not the church. You are the church. What happened? And I wonder, what happened to the hearts of God's people? And I want you to think with me, and even in Jeremiah 7:24, he says, "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they followed the counsels and the dictates of their own evil hearts and went backwards and not forward." That's something that happens in a gradual way. We begin to listen more to counsels rather than God's word. This is a transition that happens very slowly, huh? You that have been walking with the Lord for a while, you know what? This happens in a way that, you know, it's just like a drifting. And you're so far away from the word, and you wonder, how did I get that far away? And yet, we got a new year. And what are we going to do with the new year? That's the question this morning. And I pray that love that we once had with Jesus, that first love, you know, I pray that comes back as we look at all the things that are going on and see what Jesus really wants from us. If you would, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 3. Notice this verse with me. Hebrews chapter 3 says here in verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." We're not at the end yet, but where are you today? As you and I are going now to a new year, what happened this year? What has been going on in your life? And yet, where's your confidence right now? Where is your trust? Are you making it happen, or is it the Lord making it happen? This is my question this morning. And because all I know, if you don't take inventory, you know what? It's easy to begin to go farther and farther away from God's word. You don't got time. I'm busy. I got to do this. And you're so far away that you're so now susceptible to an apostasy. Something that you said, "Not me, Lord." And in that "not me, Lord" was so much like Peter before. Not, yeah, they might do it, but not me. And now you find yourself, "Lord, how did I get here? How did I get here?" And you know what? It's only because the Holy Spirit is kind of opening your eyes, forcing and pricking your heart, that we begin to realize where we're at. And you know what? And I thank the Lord that we even can feel that. You know? We have to understand this great love. And one thing, when I think about this, you know, I want to make sure that this understanding of God's love and God's grace is well known to us personally. Because if it's not, we will never see it to the lost people that we love. If we're not experiencing it, if we're not understanding it, when we see those people that we know and we love, and they're in sin and all that, we begin to lose confidence. We think the enemy has them and there's no chance. We stop believing the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, like the work that saved us. Do you get what I'm saying? Because God can change the most desperate, wicked person. He's into that. And one thing I want to say is that as we consider this, we need to understand one thing, is that we need to place our confidence back in the Lord. Especially you moms and dads that have a child that maybe walked away from the Lord and they're back into some wicked things. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? He says this in verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He's going to do it. Have we forgotten that? Those that you love that are captured right now, they're missing in action. Your family members. The Lord's going to do it. But are you part of that? Have you given up in confidence of what God can do through your prayers? Don't give up. Don't give up, please. As I think about it, and I want to close with this verse, and I want you to think about it as you leave this morning. In 2 Peter, it says this in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. He says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." Yes. Steadfastness, stability. Are you on shaky ground this morning? This thing's been going not so well. Well, let's get back to some steadfastness in the Lord. Let's get back to that simple trust and faith that he can do all things. That we trust in the supernatural God. That he can make things happen. And as we do, understand it's all grace. You know what? I know how much grace I need. I know it. And yet at the same time, it's an amazing thing for any believer to think, Lord, why in the world would I take my eyes off of you and trust in other things? That's what the enemy would have you to do, to get your eyes on other things, other counsel, rather than the Lord God who saved you. Don't do that. Trust in him. And may the Holy Spirit begin that fresh work in your life. Will you stand with me? Lord, I know your Spirit was speaking to many hearts this morning. Because we know, Lord, how it is, Lord, to so easily, as the scripture says, we're prone to wander. And Lord, help us in this area. Lord, we just want to come back as we want to end this year with saying, Lord, lead me. Fill me afresh. Let me believe in your wonders, the power of your Spirit. And Lord, forgive me for doubting what you can do. Lord, in my own life and in the lives of those that I love. Lord, I just want to say to you this morning, would you refresh me, Lord, that I might again walk in this love, walk in this understanding of your call upon my life. Lord, I want to come back to you. So, would you touch me this morning? Just as that woman with the issue of blood, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. Maybe that's you this morning. Would you just reach out and touch the hem of his garment? Let him touch you. Let him strengthen you. And may God be everything to you this coming year. Lord, bless your people in Jesus' name.